What is happening? It's a Nintendo PowerCast episode 410. I'm your host, N64, Josh Cheesy. What's up, dude?
What's going on, Cheese Curds?
Crawler, what's happening?
Hey, how's it going? Crawler coming at you.
Johnny, what's up, baby?
What's going on?
Johnny's beat down by taxes right now.
Tired.
You okay?
I'm just tired.
Okay, fair. Well, hey, before we jump into this, you guys, we want to say come on over to the Discord, n64josh.com/discord. We got all kinds of new people hanging out in there, and it's a really good time. I've launched a couple new podcasts. A Fan of Sleep podcast is available everywhere, and a brand new podcast that's not like anything I've ever done before. It has zero to do with gaming and everything to do with like mental health and mindset and entrepreneurship. And it's called Josh Schmidt Raw, and it is available everywhere. And there are two episodes out now. I will let you know it is not family friendly. So
hence just the raw.
Yeah,
just he says, but
yes, kind of. It's spelled different. Yeah, so that's been super fun to get into that kind of stuff, and somewhat terrifying at times. So go check that out, and of course the History of Mario Kart and the Mario Kart Guide still available at n64josh.com/History of Mario Kart. Before we get into the episode, Cheesy, where can people connect with you?
You can find me on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. Twitch, CheezyC64, CheezyC64. Just, it's Cheesy with a Z, C64. There we go. You know what? I just, real quick, I had kind of an off day, and then
too much C-SPAN? Is that what it was?
A little bit, yeah, some of that. And then my wife and I were just like hanging out, watching TV, and I was eating popcorn, and now I've got a popcorn kernel shell stuck between my teeth and my gums, so like I'm just ready to have a good time, you know. Let's loose and just have it be the best podcast.
That makes me want to rub my tongue across my teeth and try to.
It's awful. It's there, and I feel like I just, it's like a prize, you know. Eventually, I'll get it. I'm back at it now. I'm trying to get it.
He just stopped. It's just like back at it again. I love it. Crawler, where can people connect with you?
I guess TikTok is the question. As long as it's still there, I guess I have stuff there. Twitter and sometimes Twitch, but not really, because, you know. But Nightcrawler724, Nightcrawler is without the E.
And Johnny, how about you?
I'm Johnny Bo everywhere, especially TikTok, even though they're hacking into my Wi-Fi.
Oh, my goodness. We could do a whole show just talking about that.
You guys were, Johnny and Cheesy were on a different show this week. Where can people find that?
Yeah, that was Crashing Game Night.
Crashing Game Night. Yep.
Well, there you go.
Yep. We talked about a lot of Nintendo stuff and how the $70 price point is awful. They all agreed except for Cheesy.
I love it. That's great. We'll go check that out. Crashing Game Night, you said?
Crashing Game Night.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Very, very cool. I think we're going to start with some, we've got some hands-on impressions of, wait, help me with the names, Cheesy. The game you played.
Have a nice death,
and then what's the Bayonetta prequel or whatever?
Sarasa and the Lost Demon.
There we go. Let's start with that one. Let's start with Sarasa.
Yeah. So this is my first Bayonetta game, and I know it's a spinoff, so it's completely different than what the original Bayonetta games are.
And it's an origin, right?
It's an origin. So Bayonetta, from what I understand, her name is Sarasa. And I think you learn how she becomes Bayonetta, but from other sources, I've heard that with Bayonetta 3, the lore is kind of messed up. So it's like you don't really know who this game is for, because if you're playing this origin story and you want to play the rest of the Bayonetta game, so it's not like that. But then for the fans of Bayonetta, they're going to play this game and the lore doesn't work the way that it should because of Bayonetta 3. I don't know. But what I know from playing the game, it is so close to being a great game. The music, the art style, the narrative is so good. It's like told in this like storybook narrative and is voice acted. So there's like somebody that's reading the story to you.
Wonder how much they paid them. Cool.
What?
Wonder how much they paid them.
And it really just comes down to the gameplay that is kind of a bummer. Not like the whole time, but what makes it really confusing is when we saw trailers for Sarasa and the Lost Demon and we saw gameplay, I guess I kind of thought maybe Sarasa acted like a Olimar and the demon was like a Pikmin. So you kind of told the Pikmin what to do. You told the demon what to do, but really it's pretty confusing because Sarasa is on the left joystick and then you use the left trigger for her to like freeze time. And then the Lost Demon is with the right joystick and then the right trigger to like attack. And you don't have to use them at the same time the whole game, but there are sections of it where you are moving both of them. And honestly, I feel like one of them is just drunk because I'm controlling the one that I'm focused on. And then the other, like, I can't wrap my brain around how to get them to move at the same time.
Does it have an option for two player or is it?
No.
Huh? Nope.
Yeah, you'd think that it would work better as like a two-player game, especially after like It Takes Two or Blanc or, you know, any of those games right now. Like, it would work.
I was say, sounds like Blanc, because you can play Blanc one-player or two-player, right? Where you're controlling, I think.
Yeah.
But would this be better to sit down with like your wife and have her have one hand on the pro controller and you have one hand on the
maybe,
other pro controller?
Yeah, if you want to get like real close. You're working
or Joy-Con.
Does
right?
it have to be a pro controller or can it be Joy-Con? Is one person can do one Joy-Con and then the other can do the other Joy-Con.
Yeah. Yeah.
Link together style, like
That's so weird. Why would they not advertise it as a two-player game when you can use the Joy-Con? Because I'm gonna be honest, most of the time I'm playing Switch, it's with the pro controller. Mm-hmm. So I didn't even think about using the Joy-Con and separating it that way. But yeah, you could have somebody else controlling the other character just as easy.
If you guys played Nintendo Land, you know all too well that you've got to play very similar with Animal Crossing.
I actually thought about that, though. And I think the way that game works is it's a little easier because it's like a pathway that you kind of follow all of the villagers. And this one is just like an open arena. So you're kind of just avoiding attacks with one character, but then the other character is losing damage or is getting damage. And you're like, well, I don't know. Now I have to think about how I want this character to move, but then the other one is taking hits. So it's really kind of confusing in that sense. But otherwise, I really enjoy it. Like, I'm having a good time with it.
So does this make you want to play the other Bayonetta games?
I don't know. Like, I think I have to watch gameplay or
it's nothing. I can tell you it's nothing like.
No, I know.
Gameplay. Have you played the Devil May Cry games or anything like that?
No, I don't know if I'm like a big like hack and slash kind of person. And I do kind of get that vibe a little bit from Sarasa and the Lost Demon. It has some cool puzzles. But as far as like the big battles go, it's a lot of the same. And like, there's a reason why you use the demon a lot, because Sarasa doesn't know how to use her powers that well yet. So the demon is kind of like your tank. He's the attacker. So you do use the demon a lot. Cheshire is his name. And it makes sense as to why Sarasa isn't like in the battle that much, so you don't have to worry about her, but you do at the same time, because like, if she dies, then it's game over. If the demon takes the hits, it just turns back into a stuffed animal, because that's what the demon is. It's her like childhood toy, and so you have to like go pick him up, and then his health bar comes back, and then you can like release him again. Now, and part of the story, you can put him in hug mode. So you don't have to like go through the whole like world, I guess, with just the two characters. And that's what I do most of the time. I just like, I put Cheshire in hug mode and you're just walking around with this like stuffed animal. And then when you need him, you use him. But yeah, I don't know. I do recommend it. Like I would say it's probably like a 8 out of 10. It's the gameplay that's just kind of can be frustrating at times.
It's wild. It's such a strange game to me. Like
the art style looks awesome. I don't know if that's
yeah.
I mean, if it's something that you are interested in, there's a demo. And like that's kind of what pulled me in, is there was a free demo and I was like, all right, you know what, I'll check it out. And the music, the art style, the voice acting, it's really good. But it does take a while to wrap your mind around how the controls work. It's pretty confusing.
I'm currently stuck in the first Bayonetta game at a like kind of soft lock.
You don't remember the controls.
There's part, yeah, partially that.
So you're in and a boss like, fight, right?
I'm in a boss fight and I don't have any way to replenish my health or anything like that. I'm like, I think
the
I'm
first
like
one
seven
doesn't age
A's
that well. So like just move on to the second one or the third one.
Yeah. Yeah. I probably should, but you know, the completionist in me. Now we're looking at Have a Nice Death. And
this came out yesterday.
It looks like Hollow Knight. Yesterday?
It looks like Hollow Knight, but it plays like Dead Cells meets Hades a little bit.
Okay.
It reminds me of like, well, it's a roguelike. Mm-hmm. So if you die, you start all over. So that it's not like Hollow Knight in that sense, because Hollow Knight's more of a Metroidvania. It reminds me of Binding of Isaac in a way, because you go through floors and then you get to a boss at the end. Kind of like how Binding of Isaac works. You know, Dead Cells is more Metroidvania, and you just go through different worlds. But there's a lot of things to unlock. There's a lot of upgrades. I am really enjoying this game so far, and it's not because of the gameplay. It's because of the concept. So the concept is you are the Grim Reaper, and you got sick of reaping souls, so you created minions to do your work for you. However, they have since gotten lazy and you have to whip them back into shape. And it's like a whole like corporate office vibe.
Yeah, because rest in paperwork is what it says, I think.
Yeah,
when
rest
you die.
In paperwork. it's very charming. Like every floor, you go onto an elevator, and when you're in the elevator, it plays elevator music. And it's just like an underworld version of The Office. There's like quirky characters that you meet. The first boss, his name is Brad. So it's not like they have these weird names, like, you know, Hades has Greek mythology, but this just has Brad. But it also, so I don't know what I did last night, but I found something where it talked about corporate burnout, and it hurt, or it hit way too close to home, because I am currently burned out. And I don't think I should be playing this game anymore right now, at least.
Based on your message in Discord, I was like, I don't know if he loves or hates this game.
No, it's a fun game. I beat the first boss. I got to the second area. It is difficult as a roguelike, so they always try to make them difficult. And then, you know, you unlock things in each run that make it a little bit easier the next time. This one, you unlock weapons, you unlock curses. Then you could also decorate the office, which I think it's fun to do. But it's a nice little charming game.
If you die, does it have the same kind of story progression as like Hades?
No, it doesn't.
I haven't seen it as aggressive as Hades is when it comes to, like, you have to die to progress the story.
I mean, you do level up when you, like, after each run, you level up, which unlocks more things. So
the gold bars is the persistent currency. Mm-hmm. There's souls, which is the run currency. So, like, the little 20 in the top corner there. So as you go into the, like, before Brad's level, you get a shop that you can usually go upgrade some stuff or buy another cup of coffee, which replenishes like 15 health or something like that for me right now. And you it's very little opportunity to get healing throughout the game. So similar to Hades, similar to Dead Cells. So as you learn how to take on the enemies, it's a dodging game. It's a kind of getting the flow, know how you can attack up for those floating enemies. There's a big kind of tanky guy that orchestrates his attack pretty well that you can dodge through them. And then there's some that are just easy minions to kind of just take out and get your souls. But yeah, I'm excited to play more of it. It makes me want to go play more. Like I want to upgrade Dead Cells for the Castlevania stuff. I mean, I think.
I played that.
Yeah.
And so, I mean,
go ahead.
So yeah, I love roguelikes, and Cheesy, I know you've played like Hades.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're interested in this game. I honestly think this is one of at least the first like level before the bosses. It's probably one of the easier ones to get to that first boss.
Okay.
And there is like a difficulty slider because I got asked if I wanted to change it to easy mode or to like easy. So I think this is more forgiving of a roguelike than some.
Yeah,
of them.
I think after you get to level 2 or whatever, it has that option for a little bit easier mode if you want it.
It looks like really cool.
Roguelites are definitely created by people that grew up on the NES, but you didn't get to level up when you died. You just had to start over, period. Like,
yeah.
And I think, I don't know. And that may be why they don't pull me in at all. I'm just like the repetitiveness, I think it just.
And so I haven't taken advantage of it yet, but I've faced Brad 3 times now. And I think after I got to level 4, of just upgrading myself, you get a elevator that skips the first like 5 rooms.
That's nice.
And you
that's
can
a little
just
more
go,
appealing then.
You can just go straight to Brad's room.
Oh, okay. That's nice. That's nice. Because it's like that's where I would get like I tried Dead Cells. I tried for a while. And I'm just like, this like it just did not pull me in. It did not. It didn't. And
have
I wanted
Hades.
To. No, I bought it. I think it's on Game Pass also, but I've never.
I feel like you would really love that game, even though it is.
I don't know. It's a similar thing though. It's very you're doing the same thing over and over and over again.
But you get the power creep, I think, more with Hades than you do with Dead Cells. Dead Cells is just learn the patterns and beat the crap out of them. Mm-hmm. And you get some stuff to go reclaim to make it a little bit easier, but Hades has all the different weapons that you get to unlock, the power that you can unlock with your in-game currency in the mirror or whatever, I think is similar to this game where it just makes it, you feel more powerful as you progress. So it's not just empty kind of time spent, I guess.
Yeah.
So I think you would like Hades, Josh. And I mean, it definitely, this game has similar vibes to Hades.
Well, and listening to you guys talk about it makes me think Mega Man, right? Like Mega Man X is one of my favorite games, honestly. Like it was one of the original games I owned on the SNES. And you know, it was that kind of thing. You could choose your path and then you would get the weapons you needed for the next boss or whatever. And then you could beat that boss quickly. Right. And I felt with like Dead Cells, I'm like, I got to learn this pattern. Yeah, it's going to take me 10 minutes to get back to this boss to learn this again and again and again. Whereas if it's more about like leveling up and getting more powerful with each run that you do. And I know that happens somewhat in Dead Cells, but it seemed like it was maybe not enough that I was like, there's not enough reward for the time I'm putting into this, but it sounds like this and Hades are far more up my alley.
Well, I think you would like Hades just on the music alone. Like, really? I think that that's what would grab you. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Well, like I said, it's on my Switch. I just have never, I'm hardly playing. Like I'm balls to the walls with all that I'm working on right now. So like I'm playing very little, getting my Mario Kart in. I even skipped Mario Kart this week because I was so busy. But so
I do want to mention there is like a disclaimer at the beginning of this game that says that the game deals with a lot of mental health issues. Like if you're watching the gameplay on the stream, there is a floor that says W hung, and that boss like killed themselves. So like there's a lot of talk about suicide and mental health and just burnout. Be aware that if that is something that you have trouble dealing with, that it might not be for you. Because actually the opening sequence when they were showing death, like going through everything that he typically does, it was kind of like, it was dark. It was definitely dark. So it's like a dark humor game. I don't know. I don't know if that's a
tongue in cheek. I mean, a little bit.
Oh, here's Brad. So this is Brad.
I don't think I lasted very long on this. This is my first time facing Brad.
Brad looks incredible. I love Brad. A little Tasmanian devil action there.
I just love these games like this. Like somebody had asked us to talk about the Castlevania stuff for Dead Cells. I did play it, and I feel like these indie games need to be roguelikes now. Wasn't there an article that's like, why is every indie game a roguelike?
Yeah. I've felt that a little bit.
And I would love to have seen the Dead Cells team make a Castlevania game.
Right.
Not, you know, the expansion is good. It's fun, but it is like to get to Dracula, like there, you have to beat the game. You have to essentially beat the game to get there.
Gotcha.
And it's like, if you don't want to do that and you just want to play the Castlevania stuff, like it doesn't let you get to Dracula because there's like two different paths you could take. There's like an easier path and then the Dracula path.
So it's more to do, right? It extends the gameplay a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Like right now you were seeing the leveling up system. So that's what roguelikes are. They want to extend that gameplay.
For sure. For sure. We talked about everything being a roguelike, and then Cryptic says, or farming sim. Yeah, exactly. We've seen a few. There's been a few directs where it's like, cool. who are these games for? You know, well, a lot of you guys probably heard, if you haven't gone back and listened, I did a deep dive into the theories of Link's magic arm. Okay, from Tears of the Kingdom, and we see it like we're gonna have gameplay. I'm gonna get some footage playing right now, where we can see it. And from the opening, the very first trailer we saw, which I believe was right here, and if you're just listening, I do apologize, but I think we see his arm right off the bat. I don't know that we knew it was his arm because of the way they cut everything, but
I think we did. Maybe it's because this was the 2019 E3.
I believe. Direct? Yeah, this is like the last. It was like the last part of the direct, right? This
yeah,
is
the last one more thing, saw. Right?
Yeah, and so we see this creature, but there's the hand right there. See,
oh, yeah, but I think you see. Yeah, you can see his arm.
It like kind of grabs. It almost grabs Link, doesn't it? Like. If you watch, you see his hand. You see the mm-hmm. hand get grabbed by, like it looks like it's grabbing. Like
forearm clasps.
It all happens so quick, right? So the question is, what? Just right off the bat, seeing this, and if as the trailers progress, you guys are going to see he's using it very similar to the Sheikah Slate. So, Crawler, maybe you want to kick it off. Like, what do you think? What do you think the origins of this arm is? And then I'm going to go into, I have a bunch of theories, like I said, that we can kind of touch on, but what do you think the origin is? And then what, like, any kind of speculation on your part, feel free to, you know, add.
I mean, if it's using Sheikah technology, maybe this dungeon that is probably at the beginning of the game so that you can acquire it is tied to some kind of Sheikah technology or something, and Zelda has researched it and she's taking you there to go find something out, and then chaos ensues. I mean, that's usually what happens, right?
Yeah. I mean, we saw him like skydiving right there. Right. And you could see, and then there's another close up.
So, can you go back a few frames on that there? So that was a weapon. The flame was a weapon, but I think the stasis at the boulder, like spike ball rolling down the hill. I think he
uses his
right hand. Yeah. And then
that was then kind of there.
I think too. Link is a Jedi now. Just using the force.
That's a crossover we all want. If we get a lightsaber in there.
Yeah.
Maybe lightsabers don't break, so.
Johnny, how about you? What are your thoughts on his arm?
Well, I mean, it does look like that is going to be the Sheikah powers or whatever the Sheikah slate. But there was a picture. I think there was a picture of Zelda holding the Sheikah slate. So it must still be around. But
because she uses it in
Hyrule Warriors.
Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah, Hyrule Warriors.
So maybe she takes on using the Sheikah slate, and you get the arm.
Yeah,
it looks different though, doesn't it? Because like the one that she's holding now looks like a Switch.
That's what the Sheikah slate looked like in Breath of the Wild.
It looked like a cell phone a little bit.
Yeah, I think it was a little different.
But even in those hieroglyphics, look at the arm that's making the circle with her. Like, you see, doesn't it look like it has some kind of, like, we can only
it's got a circle.
Yeah, like the forearm. It looks like it doesn't look like a regular, like, I mean, obviously it's the hieroglyphic, right? But I don't know. It looks a little different than just than her arm. So like some kind of prophecy or something. Cheesy, what are your thoughts with this thing?
You know, I'm not sure. Like when you look at his arm, he also has claws. Like he's got long fingernails. So it's like, is it part of Ganon? Because what wasn't it in the last trailer that says lent him your power?
Isn't it Zelda saying it? We assume to Link saying lend me.
Oh
lend
yeah,
me
your yeah, power? Yeah, yeah.
Is it me or him? Because I think that changes a lot of it. If it's Zelda saying lend me your power, then Link is giving his power up to Zelda. But if she's talking to like Ganon because she wants Ganon to save Link, then I think that's something different.
Well, and the very beginning, like of this original trailer, we're back at the very first trailer. You can see the hand. It's right there. Like
it's in the middle of the chest of whatever that guy is. Yeah.
That is right in the center. I'm going to pause it when we can see it from more of the side. And so is it holding back malice? Is that what's going on right there? Is it, I don't know. And the first thing from the last show that the solo show that I did, the first theory is that it's how this is tied to Skyward Sword. And to me, it's interesting that we've seen Skyward Sword is out on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see the way this game plays, or some of the aspects of it.
Skylob like, stuff.
Yeah. And so it's like, But I'll just read a little bit from my notes here. And it says, In Tears of the Kingdom, we see Link has a mysterious right-handed black arm adorned with tattoos. It's interesting because it resembles a character from Skyward Sword named Girahim. Girahim is the primary antagonist who serves as the sword spirit of the evil Demon King Demise. And is this origin stuff? Are we seeing more, like, is this the beginning of, like...
Well, it's still not clear where Breath of the Wild falls.
Right.
In the timeline, because the Hyrule Historia came out after Breath of the Wild, or before.
So you're
Breath
saying
of
that
Wild.
That's not Ganon, though, because Ganon doesn't exist in Skyward Sword.
Hasn't well, the
tr- it's
well,
demise.
The Triforce originated out of Skyward Sword, didn't it?
Yeah,
and Ganon's a part of the Triforce.
I'm just gonna be honest. I wish I knew more of, like, and I, like, I was more efficient on the lore of Zelda, because, you know,
we're
obviously
because apparently demise is Ganon, and I did not know that. Well, you know, you can't blame me. Skyward Sword, like, sucks. So, like, I could not get through that game.
It's a good game in theory.
It was poorly executed because it relied on
motion controls.
Motion control, and then it has. I need to revisit it, and I want to revisit it before May when this comes out. But, like, the fights aren't creative at all because it's too predictable because of the way the combat was. It was swipe the opposite way to open up the enemy that you're fighting. It was all just diagonal swipes per the motion control, and even when they move it to stick control, it's still kind of rudimentary, just easily kind of the patterns aren't as crazy and random as they should be for a Zelda game, and so they become predictable and kind of non-challenging.
Before we lose everybody, we should go back to what is going on with Link's arm in Tears of the Kingdom.
I mean, I think he's borrowing some kind of power, and or some kind of power. Do you think he's borrowing?
Do you think it's
borrowing him?
I think he's turning into Ganon. I think
that would explain the hair. Like, they have not explained why he has long hair. Mm-hmm. Yeah, why he has his hair in a ponytail. So not
do we think timeline wise, do we think this game takes place before Breath of the Wild?
No, I think it's after.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good shot. That looks like that's Link, like, becoming a monster, right? Like, kind of Beauty and the Beast style.
Well, it looks like the hand is coming off of that creature that was laying back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Potentially. But then the next shot, there's almost like it's showcasing what took place, right? Like it's almost like a... Like, there's
reminder, if you're on Spotify, turn on the video so you can look.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you look at the shadow is different than what's actually happening to the hand on the body.
Still on the chest. Yeah.
So it's like it's showing
what happened.
Whoever that is, it's showing them getting it's so in just a theory. That thing either looks at Zelda and Link and says somehow tricks them into saying, "Hey, I'm trapped here by this. Please save me." Or they're going down there because they know Link needs the power that's actually holding that thing, and they're going to run the risk of potentially releasing more mal. Because it,
yeah, is this the opening cutscene? You think?
I don't know. It's a good question.
First 20-30 minutes, at least, though, right? I mean, how quickly do we get the Sheikah Slate? It's like that. You grab it as you leave the temple, right?
I believe.
Yeah. So you wait. So you wake up and then you leave the temple.
So I mean, this has got to be first little bit.
I wonder what if his rings represent anything on those hands. Those nails are incredibly long.
Aren't they Gerudo rings? Isn't that the?
Yeah. Well, because Ganondorf is a male Gerudo.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think all his jewelry is like the Gerudo.
Well, I mean, based on that hair color, are we assuming this is Ganon of some? Or Ganondorf?
Yeah, I think so.
Or Demise is Ganon, so like... It's been so long since I played the DLC for the motorcycle stuff, but like that enemy was similar looking to that, right? Like, it's been a while.
It had a hat.
Yeah, it's the people that you meet in the shrines at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forget what they're called. I don't know.
We did not do our research before this one.
Well, no, it's okay. We're just talking theories. And I'm going to deep dive into the timeline is something I'm going to do a complete series, like a whole video on. And then, I'll bring a bunch of notes and stuff for Ganon himself. And we can dig into that. Like, I want to spend the next, like up until the launch of Tears of the Kingdom, I want to make sure that we are talking about this game on the regular and really getting in and understanding more of the lore of this series, because it's so intriguing to me. Like, it's so intriguing to me. Yeah, so
I'll have to get my Hyrule Historia out and brush up on that.
Yeah, but that doesn't have Breath of the Wild in it.
Yeah, but I think Skyward Sword, I think, is going to play a part in this a little bit.
Cheesy, what were you saying about Cryptic?
Cryptic asks, do you think we still get a direct about this game? I feel the mystery is making interesting conversations.
No.
Yeah, no, personally, I hope we don't.
I think we get another trailer. We get a final trailer. We might see something this weekend.
A console announcement? A pro controller announcement?
We need the console announcement. We might see something this weekend. Because they're at PAX.
True.
With Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah, they have like a whole booth. Well, and I'm not really a booth, but they have like the
Amiibo
there. Like the big statue. And then they've got like a big screen. So, I don't know. But it would be weird if they were just showing the same thing that we've already seen. Like, why go to PAX?
Yeah, they don't have a playable demo, so
yeah, which is good, because then somebody would just like speed run it.
It's just gonna be kiosks of Breath of the Wild. That's what it's gonna be.
Yeah,
you guys, we start Breath of the Wild, and Malice is kind of everywhere. What if this is more origin? Like, what if Tears of the Kingdom is split between prequel to Breath of the Wild and then potentially after?
I think it's prequel. Like,
but I'm surprised we got a prequel though. Age of Calamity is the prequel.
It's 100 years prequel though. Like, I think there's.
And so you're thinking this is because Link was asleep for 100 years.
Yeah.
So you're thinking this is before Age of Calamity then? But like, is Age of Calamity even canon? Because isn't there's time travel and stuff? So
I don't know.
We're talking the Hyrule Warriors game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought I was under the impression, I'll check, but I thought that game was canon.
I think people wanted it to be canon when they were talking about it, but then when you actually play it, the ending doesn't actually end up with the way that it was in Breath of the Wild.
So, yeah, it's...
Hyrule Warriors is considered non-canon. Non-canon. For the canon guidelines.
Yeah. Okay, so it could be a prequel. I'd be surprised if they did prequel, though.
There's There's so much that happens in those quick cuts. Like,
wait, hold on, well, guys.
Go back to the castle, because we see the castle rise as well in one of the cuts. But
yeah,
that first shot of Overworld was pretty tame. There was no calamity kind of cloud or.
The thing that we're missing that it just dawned on me, like maybe this footage is prequel, but when they first announced it, even after this trailer, is the sequel to Breath of the Wild is in the works.
Yeah, I mean,
but they could be lying.
They wouldn't have told us I don't know.
Also, it could have time travel because they've had time travel in.
The whole Zelda reason games. That it was called sequel to Breath of the Wild is because apparently the name gave away something. I don't think the name gives away anything.
That we know of. You don't? Maybe it does.
I think it does.
I mean, the fact that they wanted to hide it for as long as they did.
True.
What do you think? I don't know.
Should I say? I mean, I guess it's a theory.
Yeah,
right?
It's you don't know unless you do. Does your uncle work for Nintendo?
No, they do actually. Okay. Yeah, I've got two of them and an aunt actually. So, I don't know. Tears of the Kingdom. Does Zelda die?
That's dark. I mean, she falls right at the beginning, and it doesn't look like Link's catching her.
Maybe they think she dies, and everybody weeps.
Yeah, it's just one single tear.
Yeah,
that saves her.
And then you go and find her. You have to use whatever this Ganon arm is, and you save her from the underworld.
Mm-hmm. Because he's reincarnated again, right? Like, isn't that what this all is? Like, Link is reincarnate a bunch of different times, and same with Zelda, right? It's just the Triforce continuing on.
Well, and look at this. This happened so quickly. There's only a few frames, but he's like, the conclusion I'm coming to is that Link somehow grabs that hand, or that hand grabs him, right? The arm.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zelda and this character here are both falling. His face looks like he's terrified, and it looks like he's falling backwards.
Well, he's dead. He probably was terrified from the beginning.
Well, his eyes are glowing, though. Remember, he woke up and looked at her. So, and also, what's this hole in his chest?
Such a goofy cut.
That's where the claw was pierced into his chest.
But you see how quick it is? Like, they don't give us anything to, like. It's like seven frames, and it's gone.
And this is the very first trailer, too, right? Still.
Yeah.
It's just so few frames. So, it's crazy.
It's also with the arm too. Like I really wish that they would have put Twilight Princess on Switch, because it looks like it sort of looks like Midna's powers.
Yeah. It does. And that
this is like Skyward Sword.
We see Zelda falling, and then it cuts to Link free falling.
The arm looks mechanical in those shots. Like, it doesn't look.
I mean, I said it at the beginning. He's a Jedi. It's got a mechanical arm. It's all lining up, folks.
It looks like the ancient armor and those are they the ancient weapons from Breath of the Wild? If you guys recall, you know, the ones that were blue and. Like, mm-hmm. They were glowing blue and stuff. Like, but there's stuff getting tore up. Like, is.
So the malice is all still there. Like, that looks like that's the sunset at the end of Breath of the Wild. And so maybe, I don't know what is making the castle go up.
The castle did that in Ocarina, didn't it?
I don't know, man. Like I said, like I wish that I knew more about Zelda, because like I haven't played that many Zelda games, and I like, as somebody that loves lore and world building, I'm sad that, you know, we can't talk about it the way that we should. And like, everybody's just making theories right now, so nobody actually knows what's happening, but I'm sure there are a lot of dots that you can connect.
Sounds like we need to have Cryptic on next week.
There are there's other like indications that it could be in the past, or at least parts of it, because the Bokoblins have like the large horns, and those like hieroglyphics have Bokoblins with large horns, but in Breath of the Wild they only have, you know, little tiny nubs, kind of like they evolved from the large horn into.
So you're leaning more on prequel again?
I think it's going to be both. I think we'll go back in time and then forward, kind of like how Ocarina of Time works, you know? You go back as a kid and then come to the future.
Time travel was a thing there.
Majora's Mask has similar, they manipulate the time. I'm surprised that they haven't manipulated time, that they didn't do it in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't really seen any shots of Link really without the arm since they've kind of shown it. But like, that would be a cool thing if we could go put the arm back, if it was a time travel thing, just like you did with the Master Sword.
And what's going on with the Master Sword? Like, why is it all jacked up now?
Let me jump. I hit on it during my during that episode. Let me grab my note. I've got 6 pages of notes. So So there. I mean, just to give you guys, I'll read you. So a handful of the theories, right? That like, it's linked to Skyward Sword. That there's, let's see, where's my second one here? My notes don't look super great. That it's potentially tied to Fi, which is the spirit residing within the Goddess Sword, which later becomes the Master Sword,
which is more Skyward Sword stuff.
Yeah, but so here we go. Here's one of the theories. Malice is a dark, corrupting force first introduced in Breath of the Wild, often associated with Calamity Ganon. This malevolent energy has the power to possess creatures, create monstrous beings, and even corrupt the very land of Hyrule itself. Considering its destructive capabilities, what if Malice also affects the Master Sword in Tears of the Kingdom? The consequences could be dire for Fi, as well as the sword's functionality. Some fans are speculating that Malice might weaken the Master Sword or even cause it to melt or transform over time. In this scenario, the Master Sword would eventually become Link's mysterious arm. This would mean that the new arm's abilities are directly tied to the power of the Master Sword, potentially enhancing or altering its capabilities. Again, just a theory.
Weapon dexterity is back, apparently.
Which is fine.
Weapon durability.
But I mean, we're talking about travel. We're just thinking Link. But what if Ganon's going back far enough to do something to affect even the Master, like knowing that the Master Sword has always been his demise? That wasn't meant to be a pun.
I see what you did there. That was pretty clever.
I didn't mean to.
But then like the dragons also, mm-hmm. I think they're called Zonai. Like those also are going to play a part somehow.
The big ones that are flying around.
Yeah. Because
first time I saw those, I was like, this is the best game I've ever played. Like I loved that so much.
Anyway. And then you found out you can't ride them
or kill them.
And then it was like the worst game ever made. See, that symbol is the Zonai like dragon symbol, you know, snake eating itself or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of symbology just in the title alone.
I love the chat is so getting into this ribbon. Is like, yes, Ocarina of Time, the castle was flying. You know, this takes a village here for us to figure out the lore of Zelda. I love
this. This is why I don't want them to show anything else. I know there was like a lot of discussion recently about how the marketing for Tears of the Kingdom has been subpar, but then the marketing was Breath of the Wild. Mm-hmm. So what else do you need to do? And it's already trending higher than Breath of the Wild did in pre-orders. So I don't want them to show anything else. I'm good.
I don't care if they show anything just for marketing purposes to get more people on board, but give us zero story details. Show us some new, like, I don't know if abilities is even the best word, but maybe some weapons. What's the durability going to be like? What are some of the changes from Breath of the Wild to this game, right? Without giving us too much. The fact that they've been so secretive about this game is one of my favorite things about it, honestly. Like, that's there's so much that has us wondering what is this? What's next? Like, whereas, like, we got into, like, Metroid Dread and we're like, what? Okay, we know everything.
We knew.
Yeah, I think
we knew everything Nintendo about Metroid Dread.
We knew a lot. Like,
what?
They showed Kraid. I did not like how they showed Kraid.
Okay, well,
we saw bosses. Like, Emmy, like, I think Emmys could have been a fun surprise.
Yeah, they showed a lot of, yeah, they showed the, well,
Emmys. That would have ruined their marketing with the amiibo and stuff like
but
that.
Like,
right.
When you have stuff that is a callback to your existing fans, don't show it. Mario movie.
I mean, okay, so I hear what you're saying, but to just counterpoint that, it's the second boss. Like, it's not even that.
Yeah, but you don't know that when you see the trailer. You just know that Kraid's in the game.
Right. So you went in assuming that was like the final boss.
I just went in like assuming there was like, I wasn't going to be surprised. Like, that's a cool surprise.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I get what you're saying, but like, were you still not happy in the moment when it was happening?
No. Because I'm like, oh, I already know this was here.
But now that you had the context of it, like, that didn't make a difference?
What is the context? There's a boss fight in Metroid.
Okay, Cheesy, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you prefer this style of marketing from Nintendo where we all get to sit around and try to figure out what is going on? Like, and obviously, Dread's a different game, right? It's a 2D linear. Like, the story's not nearly as deep. This isn't the sequel to one of Nintendo's. Like, Dread wasn't the sequel to one of, like, the Switch's.
It was a,
like,
sequel after what? How many years?
I mean, shade to Metroid Fusion.
Yo,
wow, like
19 years.
It was a little bit handholdy. Metroid Fusion, still good, but a little too handholdy. All right.
Oh, but it's probably the most difficult of the five.
If you're bad at games.
Fusion is tough.
One of the easiest.
What are you talking about?
For me, it was one of the easiest.
All right. Okay.
Because you didn't have to, like, I don't know. Like,
it's very linear. It's much more linear than
I agree with that. Like, I don't really think it's that. I don't think it is that great of a Metroidvania game because it does kind of tell you where to go a lot instead of you just figuring out where you need to go. But I do think it is very difficult.
It's been a long time since I played it, but I don't remember it being difficult. Not like the very first game where you're like, you literally have no clue where to go whatsoever. Like, I do want to point out real quick. I know you guys that aren't watching, aren't seeing this, but even the way that hand, like, look at the way it's spiraling down and looking very similar to the way the dragons form that circle. It almost looks like it was a dragon that bit him, mm-hmm, and then turned into that hand or so, like, almost so, like such a long tail off of it. You know,
there's another theory that a lot of it does have to do with the dragons, because when we hear the music at the end of this trailer, it's the same instrument that is used in Breath of the Wild when the dragons show up. So when they're playing Zelda's Lullaby at the end of this, at the end of the first trailer, it's the same instrument that you hear when you see the dragons in Breath of the Wild.
I think it's also maybe worth noting, like, we see them ride in on the elephant, and we see the elephant drinking, and the elephant, like, it, I guess it, okay, I was actually, like, from just glancing at it, I was like, is that a small version of the Divine Beast? But it's an actual elephant when you see, like, it looks like, well, not an elephant, but you guys know what I mean. Like, it's an actual creature. But just seeing all the stuff that they're carrying on it, I was like, is that like a small divine beast? And that, like, it hasn't grown yet. Like,
I wonder if, so speaking of divine beasts, like, I wonder if we're going to be able to use them. Like, if this is a sequel, like, you take back the divine beast, right?
Well, yep. There's something that the rock paper airplane that Link lands on. I mean, is that something that's tied to the Divine Beast in some way? I mean,
or is that a bird that you create? I mean, we haven't even talked about all of that. Is that you get to, like,
oh, yeah, about the vehicle creation stuff?
Ooh, I like where you're going with that. Where this Link helps create the Divine Beasts.
Yeah. You keep jumping back and forth between sequel and prequel. It's so crazy. Uh-huh.
There was a quote recently by, I don't know who it was, but it was by
Enuma.
I don't know if it was Enuma, but there was something like, somebody said that you can literally change the world in this game. Yeah. So what does that mean?
I think they looked at what people were doing in Breath of the Wild, things that they didn't even think of, and they were like, all right, bet. Like, go even harder and see what you can do in this world. Because we do know that we are playing on Hyrule, the same kind of map, and yeah, we do have what looks to be Skyloft, so we'll play around up there. But I think they're just allowing you to be as creative as you want. You know, like, who knows what that means? But it seems like there's going to be a lot of different ways to play this game. Like, just kind of the same way we were talking about playing Breath of the Wild. We all had a different story of how we were playing it. This one, I think, is going to take it to the next level of, like, how did you do this? Oh, wait, you did it that way with this vehicle? Or, like, oh, I didn't even think that you could approach that boss this way, you know? Just stuff like that. It's going to be kind of the same conversations, but just doing it in a really imaginative way. Like, we think that we've seen everything in Breath of the Wild. I think Tears of the Kingdom is going to just blow that out of the water.
It's funny you say that, because I remember when Brian, aka Destinot, was on the show, and he was talking about watching me do some of the bot, like, do, like, the way I fought some of the Calamity Ganons versus the way he fought it. He's like, I didn't even think, or, like, I tried to do I got annoyed because you had to cause a, like, create a circuit, and I ended up just dropping all the metal weapons I had and then laying them all out on the ground and then using them to create the circuit to open a door or whatever. And he was like, I did it entirely. He had, like, a rod that he could hit him with and shock him, but I was missing that, so I had to come up with an alternative way of figuring it out. So, I mean, and just looking at this world, guys, it looks so much larger. Not that Breath of the Wild was small by any means, but, like, I think moving upwards and downwards, and, like, and again, even look at the way the sword looks. It looks like the ancient tech, right? Like, mm-hmm. I will tell you this. After this conversation tonight, my hype levels are now at a 10. Like, I was excited for this game, and I'm like, now I'm like, I kind of want to fall asleep playing a little bit of Breath of the Wild tonight. Going back, I haven't touched that game in years, right? Like,
do Trial of the Sword on Master Mode.
Yeah. Would that be fun on stream? Yeah. Would people laugh at me?
It's painful.
I'm here for it. I yeah. And I'm excited for, like, we're gonna dig deeper into the lore and all this stuff and
we got like what, seven weeks.
Yeah, there's you guys can plan on a lot of, and again, I want to cover the timeline and even looking at some of the history of these games. Like, I have a lot of Zelda content planned, and
I have a video out talking about how they could fix the weapon durability. So
go watch it, guys. Go go watch Johnny's video.
They're very smart, so hopefully they listen to me.
So real quick before we end, because I think it's a good reminder, if you're listening to this before Monday, next Monday, the 27th, the eShops are closing down on the Wii U and the 3DS. Did you guys?
Because you were all using them. I know you were all using them before this.
I wish the 3DS eShop a slow and painful death, because I used it this weekend and my God, it is slow. So, like, we think the Switch eShop is slow. It's so bad on, like, I don't know how many times I had to go in and auto and then manual DNS servers for connectivity because it wasn't wanting to connect. It was saying I needed an update and I couldn't update my 3DS, and it finally did it. I don't know how. I went and stood, like, placed it right next to my router in case it was connection issue or whatever, but it was a pain just to do that, just to even get into the eShop, because I did want to look for a few things. I only ended up buying the original Pushmo game is the only thing I've bought so far. I think I'd bought a decent amount of things on my Wii U that then did end up coming to the Switch, because I have Wave Race on there. I have Oracle Seasons, Oracle of Ages, some other stuff that has all since come to the Switch. But the 3DS eShop is the search function. You can't filter out, like, the videos and the other stuff. So it's very slow. And then even after I purchased the game, it took forever to download it. I just had to, like, leave it overnight and let it download the game because it was failing multiple times. So I think I don't know if it was getting overused over the weekend or if it's just that bad from years of being left on and not power cycled or whatever it is that the eShop needs. I'm glad it's going to maybe die, but it is kind of sad that that we're going to lose some game preservation options, and Nintendo doesn't probably have the willingness or the ability for some of those unique things that exist on the 3DS to kind of preserve.
Well, like that video from the completionist, some of them are already gone. They didn't renew licenses and they're lost forever.
That video was so good. Like, I just, what a headache it was for him to download all of those games, but then it was all for a good cause. And
yeah, because he donated it to the video game preservation.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Yep. And the video we're talking about, guys, is the completionist bought every eShop game for the 3DS and the Wii U. So,
and it's on like four or five SD cards and four external hard drives for the Wii U as well. So it's crazy.
Yeah. No, the only game that I'm like, I think it's one of those things where if I wanted to use the eShop more, like I probably should have, and I missed out on a ton of games, but I'm not going to go and like panic buy all of these games now. Like, I'm upset that we're going to be losing them, and there's probably some that I regret not playing, but I am going to get Pushmo because everybody keeps saying to get Pushmo. So I'm going to buy that and play it and see what all the hype is about.
I'm shocked they did not bring a Pushmo game to Switch.
Maybe they will.
I was staring at the Box Boy trilogy of games and thinking about it, but like, I had fun playing Box Boy
on Switch.
I played Box Boy on Switch. There are three other games on 3DS. I don't think the Switch one wasn't a remake of any of them, was it?
I thought 1 and 2. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think it's an original game.
But yeah.
There's the Mighty Switch Force. That was those were some games on the 3DS that they brought to the Switch. They were
I have the visual upgrade or whatever download. I bought an external hard drive on for my Wii U, which it has to have a power source and it has to be formatted in a certain way as well. So trying to find an external hard drive with a power source that's not like ginormous this day and age was pretty crazy. I think I ended up having to get a 5 terabyte hard drive for like one download because the graphical upgrade for Xenoblade Chronicles X doesn't fit on the base Wii U. So I had to, and I wanted to have it just to have that game in all of its ability because it doesn't sound like that's ever going to get ported to Switch. But yeah, there's some games that are kind of the best version of those games are kind of stuck on Wii U now. Because until we get Wind Waker, I mean, that's technically the best way to play it is on Wii U.
Do you have to download that pack through the game that you put the disc in, or do you just go to the eShop?
No, you can just go to the eShop.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you have it, guys. Another one in the books. Episode 410. Remember to give each of these guys a follow. All of the links that we talked about will be in the show notes and the description. Make sure to check out my new shows, Josh Schmidt Raw, and if you need help falling asleep at night, the Fan of Sleep podcast. Also, it's National Puppy Day. And if you got little ones, head on over to Amazon and type in The Exciting Adventures of Bailey and Oliver. And you're going to see a cartoon version of my pups with 35 minute bedtime stories with all the adventures my dogs like to go on. So including skydiving, learning to swim for the first time. You know, so the adventures of Bailey and Oliver. If you got little ones you want to read stories to, and they're into Bluey, it's kind of in the same vein. So thank you guys so much for hanging out. We will see you in the next one. Bye now.